Good morning, church. Good morning, church. A very warm welcome to you all to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to this service of public worship. On behalf of all the good people of Newport-on-Tay Church, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. Can I also welcome our brothers and sisters who are worshiping via Zoom and those who will be listening to our worship service afterwards from our website. After the service, you are invited to join us at the church's hall, accessed to my left, where we have teas, coffees, and other niceties of life. I wish to bring to your attention that we are planning a joint service on Easter Sunday with Wormit and Bar Moreno. So Easter Sunday, we are hoping to have a full church, and we are also hoping that we'll have Holy Communion together. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 91, verse 1 to 4. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Let us worship God and our first hymn, When We Walk with the Lord in the Light of His Word.
Thank you.
That was a very long one, but also beautiful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we draw near to you on this sacred day, we pause to reflect on the week that has passed, offering our heartfelt gratitude for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the challenges we have faced, for the reminders of our need for you, and for the joys we have experienced, for they are a testament to your boundless grace. As we gather to worship on this Lord's Day, we are reminded of the gift of rest and renewal that you offer us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we stand at the threshold of the Lenten season, a time for deeper reflection and spiritual growth, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to descend upon us with its gracious and sanctifying power. May this time of Lent be a journey of meaningful discovery and heartfelt devotion, drawing us closer to you. Let every heart in worship today find solace in your presence, O God. May the burdens we carry be lifted, and may weary souls find the peace that surpasses all understanding. In our gathering, let us be united by your Spirit, emboldened in faith and comforted in our struggles. Merciful God, in the light of your truth, we come before you to confess our sins. We acknowledge the times when we have allowed Satan to overtake us with his cunning devices, leading us into temptation and away from your will. Forgive us, Lord, for the moments we have chosen the easier path, succumbing to the allure of instant gratification, power, and personal gain, rather than seeking the righteousness of your kingdom. We confess the sins we have committed in both word and deed, for the things we have wrongly pursued and for the good we have neglected, for the times our faith faltered, for the moments of doubt, for the opportunities of service ignored, and for the love we withheld, we ask for your forgiveness. And now, in the silence of our hearts, we confess our individual sins to you, trusting in your promise of forgiveness and the transforming power of your grace. Lord, as you led Jesus in the wilderness and gave him strength to overcome temptation, lead us also. Strengthen us to resist the seductions of this world that lead us away from you. Renew in us a steadfast spirit and guide us in our Lenten journey towards spiritual renewal and deeper faith. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Draw Me Close to You, Never Let Me Go.
Thank you. Okay, if all the young ones want to come down to the front, thanks very much. Well, good to see you all. How are you all today? That's good. Got some, you know, there's often loads of really young ones, and we've got some really young ones' pictures, so I can put my apologies on that just now. So, question, you're going to go, what are you showing me this for? What's happening here? Peppa Pig. Muddle puddles. Yes, they're very confused puddles. And what kind of puddles are they?
Muddy
puddles, of course they are. And who's with Peppa Pig?
George,
of course, because you can't forget George. He's left his dinosaur at home today. But yeah, they're jumping in muddy puddles. Are you all too old for doing that kind of thing now? Or do you? No, you're not. I'm so glad you said that. Puddle jumper? No, you're not a puddle jumper? You might do. Oh. Well, but it's a bit good. Do you know what? It's one of the things. We're in Scotland, we have a lot of weather, don't we? Just sometimes get a lot of weather, and sometimes it falls out of the sky and lands on us. But the good thing about when it rains a lot, at least we've got puddles to jump in. That's great. But now, Amos mentioned in the first prayer, I wonder if you were paying attention, what's this time of year in the church calendar? Do you remember what it's called?
Lent.
And do you remember why we remember Lent every year? What happened?
It's the time before Jesus died.
Well, it is. It's the time, it runs up to Easter, so that's when we celebrate it. But it was actually right at the start of Jesus' ministry when he went into the wilderness and he spent time talking to God in prayer, listening to what God wanted him to do, and he was getting ready for a really big job. He did, that's right, and that's because that's what he did. And but what did Jesus say? Did he say, yeah, okay, or did he?
No.
He said no, that's right, he said no. He got quite angry. Well, they say he went into the wilderness or into the desert, and we've only got a wee picture. Here's a wee picture of what Israel looks like, and you know what? It's usually a very dry place. And yeah, it can be quite dry. It does rain, because I have only been in Israel once, and it rained so hard. We were in a bus. There was water sloshing around the floor, and we were all going, oh, it's terrible, it's raining. And the man who's the tour guide was going, this is fantastic, look at all this rain. It's, how good is it? He was so delighted. I bet he splashed in muddy puddles. But when Jesus was in the wilderness, it talked about him fasting, so doing without food, but we know we can't do without water. And I think when Jesus was in the wilderness, I think he would have had to look for some water. But we've got some water here. In fact, you know what? Because I'm in the choir, I normally have a glass of water, and I don't have one. But the good news is I've got some water here, so I'm just going to just... Oh, lovely. Thanks very much. But I was wondering, what all do we use water for? Oh, a few coming in. Growing things.
Hydration.
Hydration. I'm hydrating just now, yes, huh?
Cooking,
yes. Oh, running out of ideas. Well, I'll tell you what, seeing as how you've run out of ideas, you can come and help me first then. So where do you get your tatties from?
Sheep.
They come from, was that a sheep or a shop?
Sheep.
Tatties. Do potatoes come from sheep?
No.
No.
They come from the ground.
They grow in the ground, that's right. And so we've got some tatties. Now, normally when you buy tatties out of Tesco, they're lovely and clean because somebody's washed them for us. But these ones aren't so clean. They've still got the ground on them. So if you were to buy dirty tatties, what would be the first thing you'd need to do with them?
Wash them.
Do you want to give them a wee clean?
Yeah.
You might tuck your jumper up. It's a very nice jumper. But that's it. And the other one. Although it's got a shark on it, which is appropriate. Right. So get that in and give that a wee scrub with your hands. That's it. Good. That's good. Yeah, so we use water for getting things clean. And what do you do with your tatty after you've cleaned it?
Usually you cook it and then...
Yeah, okay. How do you cook a tatty?
With water.
Go and shove it in the pot and go and pop some pot in the pot and put some water in. There's the water. Don't use the same water you've just washed your hands. You washed the tatty with. That wouldn't be very good. Yeah, keep going. Oh, no, it's going to boil dry. You need to put more in than that or it'll boil dry. Bit more. Keep going. We're going to get you on the tatty boiling when you get home. Okay, and a bit more, right till it covers it. Keep going. That's about the right amount. I think that's good. And then what do you do when you start boiling it? What's the next thing you do?
Put the lid on.
That's right. Yes, that's great. Now, that's fantastic. Now, I have noticed that you've been washing your hands in muddy water. Well, what's wrong with your hands now?
They're dirty.
What do you do with, what are you going to do now then?
Wash your hands.
Because when we're using water, we wash our hands. You won't need much because there's not a lot to get. Wash your hands. Don't forget the towels there. What else do we do with water apart from that? So we do a lot with water. We use it for drinking, for cleaning things, for washing ourselves, for cooking. Anything else? Any other ideas? Yeah, then we go to the swimming pool?
Yeah.
How much water is in the swimming pool? Loads.
So, it's not just water.
No, it's not just water. What else do they put in?
Well, they put in something special that keeps it clean.
Chlorine, yes. Put in some hot, smelly chlorine stuff that makes your hair stick out. It would stick out if I had any. So we use water for lots and lots of things, but water's really, really important. Jesus once said, he said, if the only thing you did for one of my disciples was give them a glass of water, God would reward you. God would remember that you did a good thing. And I think maybe one of the reasons why Jesus said that was because he knew what it was to be thirsty, because he spent time in the wilderness. And so he knew what it was like to have a hard life, to have a difficult life, to face difficulties. And that's one of the things that's amazing about Jesus, is that when we have problems, we can come to them in a prayer to Jesus because he's had to face difficulties too. The other thing about water that I think is really important is that we've got lots of water. We've got more than we need, but some people don't have so much water. There are some people who have to go to carry water and carry all the water that they want for cooking and cleaning. And then there's some people who are in troubled parts of the world where there's wars. They turn on the tap and nothing happens because wars stop the water from happening. So I think we need to be really thankful for many things, but we also need to remember people who don't have enough water for themselves. So we're going to bow and we're going to pray. Father God, I want to thank you that we live in such a prosperous and a well-watered country that we never have to worry about where our water's going to come from. And we pray for the people who have difficulty getting the water that they need to stay alive, to stay clean and stay healthy. But Father God, I want to thank you especially that Jesus wasn't afraid to face difficult situations, and that he had difficult times when he was struggling to find what he needed. But Lord, we know that means that when we come to Jesus in prayer, that Jesus is always ready to listen to our problems and to know how we feel. Father God, for all the good things you give us, we give you thanks. Amen. We're all going to sing again the hymn, He Came Down That We May Have Love.
The reading from the Old Testament today comes from Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Do not forget the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land of the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your forefathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The New Testament reading you find in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. May God bless the readings of this holy word, and may they rest in our hearts. Shall we sing together a praise? "My faith looks up to thee."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, may your Holy Spirit give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we may know the hope to which Christ has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance among us, and the greatness of his power for those who believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us reflect on the theme, Choosing God's Will Over Immediate Gratification. I read about a man who thought that he was overweight, and he was determined to lose the excess pounds. He was very diligent and stuck to his diet very strictly. He even had a new route to work so that he wouldn't drive by his favorite bakery in the morning. But one day, he came into work with a big coffee cake. His co-worker started to scorn him, and he said that he could explain. He said, "You see, I accidentally drove past my favorite bakery today, and I saw all these delicious coffee cakes out on display. So I prayed. I prayed to God and said, if you really think I should have this delicious coffee cake, have an open parking spot right in front of the bakery for me." And soon enough, there was one on my eighth time around. Dear friends, the story of the man and the coffee cake is a modern parable of that. It's a modern parable that mirrors the universal human experience of facing and often yielding to temptation. Despite his initial commitment to a healthier lifestyle, the man's deliberate circling of the bakery, coupled with his prayer for a sign, ostensibly from God as justification for giving in to his desire, highlights a profound yet frequently overlooked aspect of temptation, our own role in inviting or resisting it. The biblical meaning of temptation is a trial in which a man or woman has a free choice of being faithful or unfaithful to God. In our passages of Scripture, and especially in the New Testament texts, three times Satan approaches Jesus, and three times Jesus rejects his suggestions. Jesus Christ is tempted to turn stones into bread, to make bread in the wilderness to satisfy his physical hunger. He is tempted to jump from the temple to perform a messianic sign and prove the power of God. He is tempted with the material riches of the earth, kingdoms of the world, and to take the kingdom by force. The scene in all three of these invitations is that they tempt Jesus to benefit, exalt, and empower himself instead of serving God and others. My dear friends, it seems to me every temptation we face does the same, tempting us to put ourselves before God and others. Is that this is a pattern that is displayed regularly in Jesus' ministry. The nature of the temptations is expressed in the tempter's first words, "If you are the Son of God." And this key phrase at verse 3 to 4, assumed in the second temptation at verse 5 and 6, and repeated in the third temptation at verse 9 to 10, reflects the tempter's overall intention to manipulate Jesus. "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." We know that a voice from heaven recently confirmed the identity and the relationship to Jesus as my Son, whom I love. If you are the Son of God, why should you stay hungry? Just turn these stones into bread, which you are capable of doing, and feed yourself. The tempter seems to be implying. Our Lord Jesus Christ had the power to perform such a miracle, because later he miraculously multiplied loaves and fishes to feed 5,000 and 4,000 people. But it was not God's will for him to acquire food miraculously at the moment. Jesus Christ had come into the world to live a truly human life, one that goes through the normal means of acquiring food. If Jesus listened to Satan and turned the stones into bread, this would have led Jesus outside of the Father's will for the Son's incarnational experience. Temptations. Temptations are one of the enemy's ways of trying to get us to go contrary to God's specific will. Therefore, a temptation is not always trying to get a person to do something that is inherently sinful. For example, it is not inherently wrong to turn stones into bread. But the Father's will for the Son at this time is to fast, not to eat. Therefore, turning stones into bread will lead Jesus astray. The question really is, what is the Father's will for the Son? And what is the Father's will for us at this time of Lent? Or more generally, for our lives as we live from day to day? All of us have a variety of temptations that can sidetrack or distract us. At least, I have, if you don't. So what is the source of your most distressing temptation? Is it food? That you don't know when to stop eating, even the things you are asked not to eat because they are detrimental to your health? Is it power and prestige or covetousness, even covetous materialism? A difficult temptation for one person may not even disturb another person the least. And I think I've said this before. For example, I have never been a fan of sweets. And by the way, sweets are a luxury where I come from. So waving a box of chocolates in front of me wouldn't really get my attention very much. For some people, chocolate is a severe temptation. They can't just go past them. And some people even have a knowledge of the best chocolates in the world and who produces them. If you were to ask your friends and family or colleagues about the source of their most severe temptations, you might be surprised to find an intriguing phenomenon. Their temptations are not usually bad things. A temptation is not usually something inherently evil, but rather a good thing used for wrong purposes. Chocolate is not inherently evil, but chocolate eaten to an extreme can produce all kinds of problems, including tooth decay, weight problems, and poor nutrition. In the context of Jesus, we noticed that eating bread is a necessity for life. But creating bread by yielding to Satan's suggestion would indeed have been a sin for him. The very nature of a temptation is that it can be subtly construed to be a good thing, not a bad thing, by perverting a good thing to be a bad one or to a bad use. So what are the good things of life that we are putting into bad use? When we are faced with temptation, it is important to try to understand the proper purpose of anything we are being tempted to do or not to do. In other words, what does God want for us in a situation? A right understanding of the way in which our bodies are created will give us a clear understanding of how much chocolate we eat, or whether we talk about a person behind his or her back, or anything else we encounter. The most important thing is to learn how to resist the temptations of our lives by thinking about their effects, even if they look good and enjoyable. Jesus Christ teaches us how to resist temptation. His response was, "It is written, it is written, it is written." The quotations from Deuteronomy 8:3 and 6:16, they suggest that Jesus had been studying Deuteronomy in his own devotional reading. From within these two chapters, he draws on material that he has learned. And the Spirit which came upon him so powerfully at his baptism was able to take the scriptures that he had learned and use them in spiritual warfare. The story of the man and the coffee cake, which I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon, resonates with Luke 4, 1-13, where we have examined the temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Unlike the man in our story, Jesus encounters temptations not of his own making, but as part of his preparation for ministry. Faced with hunger, he is tempted to turn stones into bread. Offered power, he is given the chance to claim all the kingdoms of the world. And challenged to test God's faithfulness, he is to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple. In each instance, we are told, Jesus resists not by seeking signs or justifications to yield, but by anchoring himself in the Word of God. He doesn't manipulate circumstances to fit his desires, but submits his desires to the will of God, quoting Scripture as a declaration of his dependence on and obedience to his Father. The contrast between the man's yielding to temptation and Jesus' steadfast resistance offers us lessons on the nature of spiritual integrity and the importance of being rooted in divine truth. While the man's actions reveal a human tendency to rationalize our desires and manipulate our circumstances to justify giving in, Jesus' responses teach us the power of Scripture to guide us in making choices that align with God's will. As we reflect on these narratives, let us consider our own temptations and the ways we might be rationalizing our desires or testing God's will. Let the story and the example of Jesus in Luke 4 inspire us to resist temptation by grounding ourselves in the truth of God's word, seeking not to bend God's will to ours, but to mold our will to God's will. In doing so, we embrace the fullness of life and freedom that comes from living in alignment with divine will, empowered not by our own strength, but by the Spirit who guides us in all truth. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And if we do not know our way around the Scriptures and do not trust the Spirit in warfare against Satan, we will not share in the victory of God's Son. But if we do, the Spirit will bring Scriptures to our attention when temptation presses, and like Jesus, we shall have the power to overcome. What I learned myself from the temptations of Jesus and his responses is that we must not go for a temporary kingdom, which Jesus himself refused. We must not grab fulfillment now, which Jesus declined. And we must not compromise with Satan, which Jesus rejected. We are to use the Spirit's sword in the ongoing battle against the forces of evil. May God help us in our journey of faith, especially during this season of Lent. Let us pray. Our dear God and our Father, there are many, many temptations around us. Many, many things that are inviting, but which are completely outside your will for us. Help us, O Father, with the strength and the faith, with the fortitude to withstand these temptations and to live for you as we draw inspiration from Scripture and learn from our Master Jesus Christ. Amen. Our next theme, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Let us pray. Gracious and everlasting God, from the abundance you have entrusted to us, we bring forth these offerings with hearts full of gratitude and worship. As Jesus, in his time of temptation in the wilderness, relied not on bread alone, but on every word that comes from your mouth, so too do we dedicate these gifts and our lives to the furtherance of your kingdom, trusting in your provision and your guidance. Loving and almighty God, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for the gift of this day and for the strength you generously supply us with every moment. We thank you for guidance and the countless ways you have helped us overcome temptations. Today we humbly ask for your continued support in overcoming the temptations that confront us, especially those related to physical needs, the pursuit of power, and material gain. As we intercede, O Father, we think of many people who are around us and far away from us. We want to lift up to your throne of grace King Charles III, praying for his health and well-being. May your healing hand rest upon him and upon all those who are suffering from illness or affliction. Grant them recovery, comfort, and peace. We pray for our world, a place marred by conflict and suffering. We ask for your divine intervention in regions where evil thrives, that you may bring an end to wars and guide leaders towards lasting peace. Specifically, we pray for the situation in the Middle East, asking that you will touch the heart of the Prime Minister of Israel to seek restraint and wisdom in decisions regarding the conflict with Hamas in Palestine. Help the efforts of world leaders to contribute to peace rather than escalate tensions. We pray again, O Father, for Cameroon, for the Anglophone regions, and for the separatist fighters who continue to inflict pain on the local population, and also for the soldiers. We pray also for Ukraine. Father, may wars cease and peace be returned in these places. God of all nations, we pray for the politics of powerful countries such as the United States of America, Great Britain, France, Germany, China, and others whose decisions have far-reaching impacts. Inspire these nations to enact laws and policies that prioritize the common good, fostering a world where justice and peace prevail. We hold up the global church in our prayers, especially the Church of Scotland and our Presbytery of Fife. Empower our leaders to provide guidance that supports the ministers of the gospel and encourages both laity and clergy in their service to your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the churches in Newport-on-Tay, Womit, and Balmoreno. As we seek greater fellowship and plan for a joint service this Easter, strengthen our bonds to help us build lasting, sustainable relationships that glorify your name. Father, we remember individual Christians in our congregation and their diverse needs. Whether they face psychological challenges, health problems, economic hardships, or the pain of bereavement. We think of those among us who, like the man tempted by coffee cake, face daily struggles with temptation in various forms. Help us all to find the strength to resist, to discern your will, and to choose the path of righteousness. We trust in your unfailing love and grace, confident that you are at work in our lives and in the world around us. Guide us, protect us, and use us as instruments of your peace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand, and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Standing on the promises of God, it's our last and final hymn for today. peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.